Welcome everyone to TH Cinema Podcast. With me as always is the Fred and Shaggy to my Daphne.
Yes.
Silent John.
Hey everybody.
Dan.
Zoanxio.
If Frank could be here tonight. So we just smoked a lot of weeds.
A lot of fucking weed.
And my 420 special pick is Scooby-Doo.
I am so excited for this.
What a freaking curveball.
Fucking beautiful, Snort. This, one of my fucking favorite guilty pleasure fucking movies. This is a James Gunn movie.
I know.
Fuck.
James Gunn, Matthew Lillard.
God.
So, I know this isn't a traditional 420 weed-in-your-face kind of movie, you know, but the innuendos are there. We have Mary Jane character, and we have Scooby and Shaggy hotboxing the van, so it counts for a 420 movie.
I'm 100%. You know what? Scooby-Doo and stoner culture has always been very close parallel lines intersecting constantly since it was incepted in the 70s and 60s or whatnot. Scooby-Doo has always been a stoner thing. When I was growing up, that was always like in middle school, a stoner litmus test for 13-year-olds. You watch Scooby-Doo as a fucking 13-year-old? Yup.
Yep.
Let's go smoke some weed after school, buddy.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch. I've always loved Scooby-Doo. Becoming a stoner, I love Scooby-Doo even more now. I have watched this movie on 420 before. It's usually my go-to. I think it's just a fun movie to watch while you're high.
Perfectly cast fucking movie. Matthew Lillard as fucking Shaggy. No one does it better. He is the Heath Ledger Joker of the Shaggy role. Freddie Prinze Jr., fantastic as fucking Fred. Yeah. Fucking Linda Oh, gosh, I cannot wait to watch this movie.
When was the last time you watched Scooby-Doo from 2002 is the one we're talking about?
This is one of the perks of having a child. I have watched Scooby-Doo multiple times in recent years, and I enjoy it so much every time.
It's never a bad choice to put on, and you have a non-weird reason to put it on, having a kid.
And it's that rare, good adaptation into live action of a cartoon. It's just... And you've got that seamless Mary Poppins-ish kind of, you know, crossover of animation and live action. It's perfect.
You forgot another big person that we get, too.
You're right. You know who we get? We get fucking Mr. Bean. I love me some evil Mr. Bean. I mean, I'm not looking forward to the reveal, but I know it's coming, so I'm not worried about it. Whatever. I can enjoy the first 9/10 of this movie until I have to endure the last 10th of it. Which in itself is an in-joke, but we'll get into that later.
A wild Mark McGrath appears, the famous Sugar Ray.
Time of the early 2000s, Sugar Ray himself.
Man, they really were a staple back in those times.
See, I think this is one of those like early 2000 movies that hold up still, though. Like, I don't know, it's been maybe like 2 years since I've watched this movie, and I didn't think it was cringy rewatching it. So I think it holds up. Past the 2000 cringe.
Yeah, anytime you see Mark McGrath in a movie, it's definitely like, oh, this early 2000s period piece.
Well, and I think people are more on, you know, James Gunn's wacky adventures. He's always had this fun sense with his movies, and it's not always been for everybody, but now he's a little more mainstream, so I think people appreciate Scooby-Doo a little bit more nowadays, too.
Yeah, and the gunniness definitely drips out. You could see how he got from this to the regular progression of what James Gunn has done so far.
Just a brilliant stepping stone for who he is today.
All right, you fucking meddling kids. Let's unmask this fucker and watch some Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And now, our feature presentation.
I found the movie, Snort and John brought the snacks, and we're back, and we just watched Scooby-Doo from 2002.
How fun!
What a doobie-doobie delight this was, let me tell you what.
Every viewing. I fucking love this movie. Scooby-Doo was a big part of my childhood because of the era that I came from. It was leftover counterculture shit from the 60s, so big stoner fucking counterculture shit in my, like, teenage era, you know, because it was throwback to the hippie parents and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So I've always had, like, a special place in my heart for Scooby-Doo. And this movie, I love so many fucking things about it, okay? The casting in this movie is some of the most perfect casting that's ever happened.
That was my thought watching this. Also, is like, I can't think of another movie that is better cast than this.
This movie just proves, like, why Matthew Lillard is such a good actor. He is the perfect Shaggy in this movie.
The man literally Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man'd the Shaggy role, because there was no one after this that could hold a candle to him. Freddie Prinze Jr., I love him. He's a great Freddie. There was probably like three other actors at the time you could have subbed in that would have been okay. Yeah. I think Freddie Prinze Jr. does a really good job. And it's same thing with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right.
You know, Linda Cardellini, hands down, you couldn't have gotten a better Velma for her.
Just brilliant.
One thing I wonder is, what are your guys' thoughts on CGI Scooby-Doo? Because personally, and even though it's very 2000s-ish, you know, it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, the animation is very 2000s. The Scooby-Doo animation is done very, very well for the era.
Mm-hmm.
The monsters, not so much. But there was a supposedly like last-minute redesigns on this movie. Because this movie kind of had to... It was in a really difficult place, okay? Because like the culture of the era, you've got these groups of stoner college kids that love Scooby-Doo. And then you just got regular kids that love Scooby-Doo. And you got to make a movie for the both of them because Deadpool hasn't come out yet and they haven't figured out you could just make a movie for the grown-ups, and who the fuck cares if the kids get to see it or not. And if they do, they're grown up enough to fucking enjoy it. So you kind of had to toe that line. And James Gunn, you could see how difficult that probably was for him, you know?
I think it does a good job of both, though.
Yeah, I think seeing the finished product and seeing how well... you could easily have any kid watch this movie, but still see all the subtle, you know, weed references as it goes along. I think it's a good skill that he has. He definitely blends the the campy and kid-friendliness to also leaving those things for adults to enjoy.
Yeah, but I do think they do it a little bit more, like, heavy-handedly in comparison to something like DreamWorks and Shrek, where it's done a little bit more, like, innocently to the child's eye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But from my perspective, it's the same as when I watch something like Galaxy Quest, where I see the potential for what it could have been if we just got to move from that PG-13 just a little skosh to the right.
Well, I read online that there is apparently an R rating Scooby-Doo that floats out there somewhere.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, apparently the monsters had to go through a last minute redesign because when they sent it out, a bunch of parents were like, that's too fucking scary for kids. Are you out of your mind? So that's actually the less scary version. So I'm sure they didn't have as much time and effort to put into it as they did with the Scooby-Doo, which is why Scooby looks so much better than the monsters in this movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are you kidding me? They go to a place called Spooky Island. What do you expect? They're supposed to be scary.
It's Spooky Island.
No, I want spooky.
Apparently there were words like demonic thrown around throughout this movie. Like, it was supposed to be possession and souls and not protoplasm. And like, you know what I mean? You can definitely see the pieces that were like, we're going to put some Disney on this.
But they still dibble-dabbled into the darkness.
There was definitely some dibble-dabbling, and there was definitely some dated fucking Mark McGrath.
But I mean, considering the times, like, Sugar Ray, they were top of their game at that point in time, you know? They were a lot more popular than I'd like to admit.
Oh, they just wanted to fly.
And honestly, Mark McGrath, even today, still just pops up everywhere, somehow, some way. There's Mark McGrath.
It's all that fame. He's still riding that Scooby-Doo wave all the way down, baby. I just love, like, seeing a movie that has something like that, where they throw in a random actor, because obviously I grew up in it and I know it, but if I show this to my six-year-old, he's going to be like, okay, there's all this pomp and circumstance for this guy with fucking frosted tips. I don't understand why.
You had to be there. You had to know the 2000s. Now, I think what makes this the perfect stoner movie to watch on 420 is that it's fun, it's easy to watch, and you can watch it so many times, and every time it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, and it's light, and it's colorful, and it's pretty looking. One problem I do have with the Scooby-Doo movie...
Oh no.
...is the same problem that Scooby-Doo fans have had with the Scooby-Doo since the Scooby-Doo Scooby-Dude. And that's the scrappy of it all.
Okay.
Scrappy-Doo has had a long-standing history of not being liked by true doos like myself.
You do say.
Oh, I do. Scrappy was inserted into the Scooby-Doo cartoon as kind of like a, like, they were losing a little bit of traction, and it was studio interference, you know? They make reference to it in The Simpsons with Poochie, like, oh, Poochie went off to his own planet, like, because that's how they got rid of Scooby-Doo, or Scrappy-Doo in the fucking cartoon. They were like, okay, he doesn't exist anymore. They even brought in, like, Scooby-Doo's, like, brother Doofus-Doo at some point. It's like, we're losing viewers. Add characters. So Scrappy-Doo's always had this kind of place. So for the reveal to happen at the end was a kind of like a slap in the face to like do purists like myself.
Like, do you feel that way because you thought that they were going to leave him out? And then you're like, man, this is such a fun movie. And then he shows up and that's the lead into the next one. And you're just like, my excitement is just gone.
Now. That's exactly it. It was a full on like, we made it all the way through. What the fuck? This fucking guy? It's like the asshole who shows up at the party that you're just like, oh no. Well, I thought this wasn't going to happen tonight.
He shows up and pisses on everyone.
With his guitar.
And his cross joint.
His cross joint and one lighter.
Scrappy definitely seems like a one lighter kind of pup.
But also to someone that's a great appreciator of comedy, it was even more of a slap in the face because he got him popping out of Rowan fucking Atkinson, one of the goddamn kings, Mr. Bean him fucking self. Why can't you just let Bean?
He's just so good at like physical comedy. Like, he is perfect. Quick question, does he still do stuff?
Oh, Rowan Atkinson, he's all over the place.
Is he?
Yeah, he's still rocking.
Okay.
I don't think he's like actively rocking. He's like nightly rocking. Like, okay. I'm well revered. I'm going to sit on boards and make decisions and show up for specials. You know, with British like celebrity at a certain point, you're just royalty. Like, we have like celebrity here in the United States, but they have like celebrity royalty over there where you're just in like the media version of Buckingham Palace, essentially just biding your time until everyone can be sad that you died, but with great honor and great class and a regality.
I swear, you just sometimes have the most beautiful way with words. Like, all of a sudden, I feel like I need to bow to Rowan Atkinson because of you.
The one true king, until Scrappy-Doo pops the fuck out of him like it's Men in Black.
Just fucks everything up.
No, and originally, you know, again, it's the Disneyfication of it all. Like, the movie was supposed to end with, like, a lead-in to the next movie that was sans Scrappy-Doo. And even the next movie, the second one, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And you got to see, like, the classic fucking Scooby-Doo villain ghosts and shit like that. Like, it was a good, like, redemption-y type thing.
I don't go back and rewatch it as much as this one that we just watched, though. It's been a while since I've seen that one.
Yeah, first one definitely has more of a special place in my heart, comparatively. And much like our previous Pineapple Express viewing, you get kind of somebody's debut in this movie. Isla Fisher. This was her first big blockbuster movie. She played the role of Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then went on to marry a Borat. Very nice.
Very nice.
Good for her.
And she got to be a nice little subtle other Scooby-Doo weed reference with Mary Jane's. I did appreciate the little references, like them grilling and the smoke coming out of the thing. That, like, how else do you open a Scooby-Doo that's kind of catered towards college students?
I think that's like my favorite scene of it is with the mystery machine.
Yeah, and you can really see, you know, Shaggy and Scooby's relationship in this movie, the love they have for each other. And it's Matthew Lillard working at this point opposite a fucking tennis ball. Mm-hmm. It's not even like, I know it's a James Gunn movie, but his brother's not sitting there like crawling around on the ground pretending to be Scooby-Doo next to Matthew Lillard. That's a goddamn tennis ball that man's acting against. And he is fucking nailing it.
I never really thought about that. Yeah, he's acting against nothing most of the movie.
Yeah, you could tweak how much Scooby loves fucking Shaggy, but you can't tweak how much Shaggy loves that goddamn tennis ball.
So I'm saying, if you didn't notice or appreciate him before this movie, better put him up there in your good job, Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, I really wish there was a good like Matthew Lillard renaissance happening. John, can you manifest that next?
He's real big on the internet. Yeah. Like, there's a renaissance for him on the internet right now.
I almost think he doesn't want to, honestly, because, yeah, I've seen a lot of people talk about him. Like, he's very underrated. We love for him to come back. And I think he just goes, I think he's doing, like, the con circuit, mm-hmm. and he's just making kids' days. There's always something good coming out about him. Maybe he's just happy, like, in his family-driven life right now that he doesn't want to take on any projects. But I could also see, like, 10 years down the road, maybe he gets that itch again. Maybe someone calls him, like, what do you think about bringing Shaggy back? Hollywood remakes everything.
Mm.
Imagine if you got James Gunn today. Ooh. Doing Scooby-Doo, almost like a soft reboot, but not a reboot necessarily, you know?
Yeah, like a HBO Max original, yeah. Scooby-Doo version.
Dang.
It could be, ooh, it could be all like Ghost Hunters and stuff like that, where they're actually like going in, there's actual like monsters and demons, but it's all, ooh, a horror Scooby-Doo, James Gunn, HBO Max miniseries.
Yeah.
Welcome to the rated R Scooby-Doo, guys.
Damn.
Matthew Lillard's the grizzled old vet. I don't know. I'd like to see, like, let's give Matthew Lillard about, like, 8 years, and I want to see him and Brendan Fraser in, like, a sad dad's, like, road movie where they're coming to terms with something. Mm. Like, they're coming to terms with where they are.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm into that. And honestly, Brendan Fraser is having a little bit of a renaissance right now, so maybe that'll help lure our Matthew boy out of, I wouldn't call it retirement, whatever he's doing.
Or maybe, like, a movie with, like, an ensemble cast, like The Expendables, but with just, like, Brendan Fraser and Matthew Lillard and other Hollywood nice guys.
And just, no, wait, no, we can't call it The Nice Guys. That's already a movie.
You know what? I just had this realization with you saying that. You know what Matthew Lillard, what Matthew Lillard would have been perfect for? If he was in Knives Out, that should have been the one, I think.
Ooh. You, listen up, Netflix. Knives Out 3.
Oh, ah, that's right.
Damn. Let's drop some Matthew Lillard in there.
All right, guys, I will try my hardest to manifest.
Use your powers.
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard definitely needs to be in more. I mean... Yeah. Brendan Fraser's also a big cartoon guy also.
Yeah.
Did a bunch of Looney Tunes movies. Maybe we can get some Looney Tunes Scooby-Doo crossover action happening here.
I'm out sharks. I'm not a Looney Tunes person.
Well, you don't have to be because Brendan Fraser is.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll stay for the Scooby-Doo though.
But even though they Disney-fied the fuck out of this movie, I did like how they kind of also adulted it. They gave Daphne, like, she was a fucking badass at a certain point, you know? She fucking turned from this, like, mm-hmm. damsel in distress into the fucking women's fucking title belt fucking champion against Bane.
Pretty much.
The scary elements at Spooky Island were kind of spooky, you know? You did have, you know... The protoplasm souls being sucked out and faces bobbing around in jars. Again, very much 2002 fucking CGI, but even that still, it's, you could see the James Gunn all over it.
But how cool did Spooky Island look? I would definitely go to Spooky Island.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, James Gunn, the production design that he created for this, you know, he just knows how to set a vibe.
He's very good at world building, and he at times almost embraces whatever campiness vision he has. He knows how to take something cheesy and make it so cool and so awesome. And you see that a lot in Scooby-Doo, which is probably, I mean, some of his earlier work.
Yeah, and it somehow, like, kind of toes that line between it's a parody of itself, but also an homage.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what you want out of something that's a tried and true children's classic that you're catering to 2002's Limp Bizkit listening, wife beater wearing. Frosted Tips having college people.
And that will carry on for a younger millennial generation. That was kids when it came out, and now we're older stoners and we still love it.
Yeah, now we can show it to our kids and not feel terrible about it.
To partially quote Pineapple Express, Scooby-Doo echoes into eternity. It's always there.
I will say I did try to show my kid like the PG-13 cut of Deadpool 2 because they did a like, because Deadpool 2 is an R-rated movie.
Yeah,
they cut it down to a PG-13 version. I couldn't get through it.
Really? That much of a change?
It was that much. Like, he didn't even finish watching it. He was like, this is stupid.
Good on him for bowing out when he knew it was time.
But this one's definitely not a Deadpool 2 Once Upon a Deadpool. All right, well, we gotta fucking big up some fucking doobie snacks and go a little fucking higher, because the next one's gonna be a fucking, it's short, I promise.
Okay.
But it's definitely gonna be a, you gotta stay firm, keep that butter from melting.
If I got a nap.
I'll fill you in on the deeds.
Okay.
Dan, I trust your opinion, and I think whatever you're going to throw our way is going to be fantastic, and obviously smoking weed will enhance the experience.
All right, motherfuckers, well, let's get a little bit more high, and let's get on to our next feature for 420. So, if you see three people going through a whole goddamn box of fucking Scooby snacks, because they're really, really high, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Later, you meddling stoners.
Fucking zoinks, yo.
Zoinks.
We still gotta watch two more fucking movies.
Jinkies.
My glasses. I can't see anything without my glasses. And you said we didn't know any quotes.
We just busted them all out at once.
Roll, roll. You forgot another big person that we get too. Some Andy Serkis. Isn't he he's the villain?
I think he
is.
Who is the villain then? Isn't it him?
You're right. You know who we get? We get fucking Mr. Bean.
Oh, Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, that's
Rowan
who it Atkinson. Is. Yes, that guy.
It's cool. We'll just put the Mr. Bean, me being excited after you said that. I love me some evil Mr. Bean.